Welcome to TR Talks, where your host, Team Rajpal, talks everything Toronto and GTA real estate, from buying, selling, leasing, investing, and rental management. An unfiltered conversation with industry experts helping you stay up to date with the market.
Welcome to TR Talks, where your hosts, Team Rajpal, talks everything residential real estate in Toronto and the GTA, from buying, selling, leasing, investing, rental management. An unfiltered conversation with industry experts, helping you stay up to date with the market.
Hello, this is Geeta with TR Talks, and I'm here today with Nicholas Ip from the team.
Hi, everyone.
Hello, Nick. And we are speaking with Eric Evans of Starling Pools today. And Starling Pools is a very well-established business being operated since 1974. They no longer build pools, but offer services such as pool openings, closings, equipment installs, liner installs, safety cover installs, weekly maintenance. And they're also a retail store, and they offer free water testing and analysis in person. And they sell and install hot tubs. So we're looking forward to speaking with Eric today on everything to do with pools.
Hi, Eric.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Thank you so much for joining us, Eric. We really appreciate it. And pools, as you know, and you probably know just over the last couple of years, just how much in demand they've been thanks to COVID. So you've probably been super busy in the last few years.
Yeah, I think actually the pool industry was the one industry that got better through COVID. Like, we saw such a huge increase in our customer base, and it's just been insane. I know that the people who are building pools right now, well, they did have at least like a 2 to 3 year waiting list at the height of COVID. Yeah.
Yes. And I know that you're no longer building pools, but that's another thing that has increased a lot. People with larger lot sizes, they have been actively looking for quotes for people to come in and build a pool.
Oh, yeah. And even the smaller lot sizes too. Like, we're seeing a lot of smaller backyards having fiberglass pools put in because they're a lot smaller and they're easier to contain. So there's just a huge demand for pools at the moment.
That is right. And actually, now that you mentioned fiberglass, so that leads me into my first question. What are the different types of pools? What can you share with the listeners on something they need to know if, let's say, they are considering becoming a homeowner with a pool?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's three major types of pools. You have a liner or a fiberglass. Concrete pools are not as common as they used to be. They were really common back in the day. Most people now who have residential pools, they are usually, it's a vinyl liner, and they usually have a pattern printed on them, and it just feels like a smooth piece of like fabric almost that lines the pool. And then there is fiberglass, which is basically like, you know, those bathtub inserts you can buy. It's basically like an insert of a pool that they drop into the ground and fill with water.
These are in-ground pools though, right? Or
yeah, these are all in-ground pools. We really don't do an awful lot with above-ground pools just because, you know, we specialize mostly with in-ground. Above-ground and on-ground pools are a lot easier to do yourself. You can construct them and take them down by yourself. You don't necessarily need a company to help you with those. Not all the time anyway.
Okay. And what are the like average lifespans of these in-ground pools? I guess our main discussion today will be in-ground as well. So what do you see like in terms of the lifespan on these?
So, I mean, honestly, it really depends on the initial construction, if it was done properly, and how well you maintain them. The pools themselves, they last a long time, you know, like 50, 60 years, as long as you maintain them. It's usually the equipment that you need to switch out every few years, but the actual body of the pool itself, providing you take care of it and it was installed correctly, I don't think you ever really need to worry about them not lasting. That would be more of an above ground thing you would have to be concerned of.
Okay, so if the lifespan is towards the end, does that mean we have to take it apart and put a new one? Or is that more like we can just do some patchwork and kind of revive it?
Yeah, I would say patchwork, to be honest. Like, I mean, the biggest thing over time that you might need to think about would be the concrete around the base of the pool, like on the deck, that can come up. But it's not like you'd never have to really dig up the pool and re-dig the hole again. Once it's in the ground, it's pretty well there to stay. The only time you're going to kind of do any work like that is if you're filling it in.
Right. And so as you mentioned, it's more so the equipment installs that you would need to focus on. So tell us a little bit more about, you know, where you would come in when it comes to pumps, filters, heaters, the salt systems, etc.
Yeah, so we obviously install all of the above. Most of the time, you're going to look to get between 3 to 10 years for equipment, depending on the equipment itself, depending on what you're asking it to do. So, for example, a fan filter will last you maybe 10 years. You'll have to change the fan out throughout that time. The pump, again, you could get 5 to 10 years. The liner, about 10 years. But everything really depends on how well you've taken care of it. If you are on top of your maintenance, if you change things when you're supposed to, like your sand filter, and, you know, if you keep up on the maintenance side of it, you can get a lot more of a lifespan on your equipment.
Right. Which leads us to, what are some good tips for maintenance, or what do you find that most people are not doing, which should be common sense to you, but, you know, they're just missing doing it? And what's the most common error you find?
Well, honestly, I think the biggest problem that we see is the water chemistry. And it sounds silly, but if you don't take care of your chemistry, that can have really, really bad effects on your equipment. For example, if your water is consistently corrosive, which means your alkalinity is low, your pH is low, if you run your pool like that constantly, you can actually strip the copper out of your heater, and you can ruin the heater in like the space of one season. We've seen it happen. Again, all the equipment inside the pool, if your water isn't balanced properly, it can rust and corrode, and scale can form on it. So honestly, chemistry is your best bet to making sure your equipment lasts a long time.
And so what would you tell pool owners to be doing?
Well, definitely test your water. We here at the store, we offer free water testing. So you bring in a sample, we run it through our system and laser and reagents, determine what needs to be done, and then a computer program gives you the results. And it's actually really impressive. It gives you the results down to like the gram, how much of each product you need. So we can run a test within about 30 seconds. We'll print out the results, and we'll go through it with the customer, and we'll just say, okay, so your alkalinity is low. You need to increase that by adding, you know, however many grams of this product. And then you need to do this. You need to lower your pH. And so by doing this on a weekly basis, it helps obviously make sure the pool experience more enjoyable for everybody, because the bather feels more comfortable, the water is clean and safe to swim in, and it doesn't have as much of an impact on your equipment.
Oh, that's great. I was about to ask you, how often should they do it? And I heard you just say they do it on a weekly basis. So that's pretty frequent.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to do it weekly. Usually what we'll see with customers is in the beginning of the season, so like April, May, when people are opening up their pools, then we see them every 3 days to every week. But once the season is in, once you've got the majority of the pool balanced, then we generally see people once every 2 weeks or a month even. And you can test at home too. There is test strips that you can buy. They're not as accurate, obviously, as a proper water test, but it's a good way. You dip the test strip in, and then you can compare it on the back of the tube. And it will give you a rough idea of where your levels are at. So you, as the homeowner, would know, okay, my chlorine is low, I need to increase this, et cetera, et cetera.
And Eric, us being in Ontario, you know, we have like 3 to 4 months of winter. Is there extra maintenance that we have to do because we have those winter months that we have to handle or cover up the pool? Or is there any tips you can share with us on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely in Canada, we have a much shorter season. So we all close pools here. And that's something that's done usually around September, October. And when we say we close a pool, we're basically saying we're shutting it down for the winter, and it's basically going into hibernation. So this is done by draining a certain amount of water, blowing out the lines to make sure that nothing freezes in the winter. So we drop the level of the water down, clear out all the lines, and block everything off, shut down the equipment, drain the filter, and basically just packing up the pool for the winter. And then you put the cover on, and then you don't have to worry about it until the spring.
Okay, and so that's great. And that would then bring me to this question of, what could it cost basically to do the opening, the closing, and any other kind of maintenance package that you might have or another company might have to offer?
Yes. So, I mean, on average, each company is different and offers a different service. But you could be looking, I would say, to open and close the pool, average out around, you know, if you can expect to pay about $1,000 a year, that's on the higher end of it, but it's better to kind of, you know, overcompensate. The opening usually costs a bit more because more is involved in an opening. There's a lot more cleanup because obviously during the winter months, snow falls in the pool, all kinds of slime and gunk from the cover goes in there. So it's definitely a bigger job. But yeah, each service, I would say an opening, you can expect to pay anywhere from $350 to $500. And for a closing, you know, maybe $300 to $400.
Okay. And, you know, I know a lot of clients that have converted their pools to saltwater pools. Is that something that you assist with? And if yes, what is involved with that? And what would you recommend?
Well, interestingly enough, so with a salt system, a common misconception is that it is a salt pool. Now, there is salt in the water, but it is still technically a chlorine pool. So when you install a salt system, basically what you're doing is you are turning salt into chlorine. So you're still swimming in chlorine water. It's just you're producing your own as opposed to buying pucks or liquid chlorine. And the salt cell basically splits the salt molecule in half, and that creates a chlorine gas, which is what's sanitizing the water. We do have a lot and lots of customers who prefer it. They say they feel a difference in the water on their skin. But if you're deciding to convert to salt for an allergy reason or because you don't like chlorine, then, you know, it still is technically a chlorine pool. There are some pros and cons to both. Salt cells, the water needs to be at a certain temperature before they can work. So that can sometimes cause problems in the beginning of the season when the water is still really cold. If there's too much salt, they don't work. If there's not enough salt, they don't work. So, you know, they are great. They do a good job. If there's ever a chlorine shortage, you don't need to worry about them. But yeah, so there's pros and cons to both. We are seeing more and more and more people converting to salt systems each year. It's becoming more and more popular.
And is the cost of maintenance any different?
Not really, to be honest. You still have to balance your water. And that is another thing that we get a lot of customers in who, for some reason, are under the impression that if you have salt, you don't need to balance your water. That's not true at all. You still have to balance it. You still have to maintain it as you would normally. The only difference is you are creating your own chlorine. But in terms of cost, it's a bigger output to begin with. A salt system can run you from, depending on the size of the pool, anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000, depending on the bite that you want. And then you would add the salt throughout the season to keep your levels up. But you still have to do the same as far as the other chemicals are concerned. So you may see a slight saving, but it wouldn't be a substantial saving, in our opinion anyway.
Okay, thanks, Eric. Now for maybe me, myself, or maybe our clients are also listening that maybe want to get a pool in their backyard, is there any laws they have to follow when it comes to building a pool in their backyard?
Sorry, did you say there's any laws?
Yeah.
Well, there's definitely things you need to be aware of. Certain areas have certain rules. For example, in Toronto, you can't backwash, which when we say backwash, we basically mean we're cleaning out the sand filter. It's something you do on a weekly basis. In the Durham region, you can backwash into the street or into your backyard. That's fine. Toronto, you're not allowed to do that. So you have to know that before you install the pool, and you'd have to get a cartridge filter. Getting back to salt cells, if you back onto a ravine, you can't backwash a salt system into a ravine because you could then kill an ecosystem. If you put salt water into fresh water, like a stream or like a pond or anything like that. So there are certain rules depending on the region. That's something you would want to check into if you're having the pool installed. Usually if the pool is pre-existing and it's been there for a while, you know, they've probably already taken care of those things. But if you're buying a home with a lot and you do plan to get a pool installed, I would definitely do your research about what your region or your area requires as a pool owner.
Yes. And so thanks for that, Eric. And now you mentioned if somebody's buying a pool, and that brings me to the question. Very often, you know, when we do have buyers that are purchasing homes with pools, I don't know if you've, you know, ever been to a pool inspection or if your company does that as well. Does your company do pool inspections when it comes to buyers coming in purchasing a home with a pool?
Oh, yeah, we do offer a pool inspection. I would say, honestly, if you haven't owned a pool before, it's definitely money well spent to get a pool inspection, especially if you're buying a pool in the fall or the winter because you don't know what's under that safety cover, you know, if you can't see it. A pool inspection is just it's a really good way for not only the buyer but also the seller because, you know, they know, okay, well, if we need to do da-da-da-da-da, we have all these things we have to fix, we're going to have to put that work in now, or we have to reduce the price of the house, I guess. So I would say it's a really good idea to find a pool company that offers that. The one that we do, Ken, the owner and service manager here, he comes out and he does a full report, including pictures And he'll basically say, you know, this is what needs work. And he'll list off everything that isn't right. And that gives the homeowner, you know, a lot more comfort when they're putting in an offer on a house. If they know that they've got to possibly spend another 10 grand over the next 2 years.
No, absolutely. And I think that it's something as realtors, we really do insist on, especially when there's a pool involved. And, you know, because there's just something that you may not know, which is why we want to have the experts come in like yourselves. Now, what could an inspection like that cost a purchaser or a seller if they're choosing to do it before listing?
They're not actually as expensive as you'd think. Again, it depends entirely on the company, but I think you'd be looking around $300 to $500, maybe $1,000, depending on the size of the pool, depending on what's involved. Obviously, if you have like a spillover spa and a huge water feature, and you know, it's like a huge setup, that's obviously going to cost more. But I think around $500 is around an average price for that. But in my opinion, it's money well spent, you know, especially if it could save you from, you know, purchasing a home with a pool that is now going to cost you $10,000.
Oh, totally agree with you. It is definitely money well spent. And, you know, as far as inspections go, it's pretty much in line with what the home inspection would cost as well. And I think that in terms of, because I know you sell and install hot tubs as well, that's always a question. People sometimes get very nervous around hot tubs and whether or not they want to purchase something with the hot tub left behind. And most often the sellers are leaving the hot tub behind because who's taking that big thing with them? So do you have any thoughts or insight on that?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. People don't generally move with a hot tub or a spa. It generally stays put. As far as buying a house with a spa, if you can find a company that will come and inspect it, do it as well if you can, because it's not going to cost you the same as a pool, certainly. And if you do decide to just get rid of it, that's a much easier process than getting rid of a pool. But again, you don't want to take something on if you're going to have to spend thousands of dollars on it, especially if it's not a feature of the house. Like generally speaking, and I'm sure you guys know more than us, but we find that the pool is either the yes or the no factor of the house. They either say, oh no, I don't want the pool, or yes, I really want the pool.
Yes, there's no in between.
Yeah, exactly. The spa or the hot tub, that can be removed if needs be. So people generally buy the house based on the house and the spa is there. But again, have an inspection. They are a little bit cheaper than a pool inspection, obviously, because there's less to do. Spas, depending on who makes them, sometimes they're an easy fix. You just have to take a panel out, fix some piping. Other times it could just be a complete, you know, let's just got this and take the whole thing out. And if we want a spa, let's start again. But I would definitely have it looked at for sure.
No, absolutely. And so, listen, that was pretty much most of the questions that we wanted to ask you. I don't know if you have anything else that you wanted to add. Actually, you know, before we started, we were talking about filling pools and getting those filled. And I think maybe if you could share that again in terms of if somebody wanted to not take on a pool and actually fill it. You had some insight to share with that. So maybe if you could repeat that, that would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, and that does happen. People say, I fell in love with the house. I don't want the pool. You know, I'm not going to be out there doing this work. I want to get rid of it. You can get them filled in. It's not a case of just pouring dirt into it. They do have to be properly removed. You need to take all the piping out. So it is a job. It's going to cost you roughly around 10 grand. To have a pool, because again, you have to remove all the equipment from underground. You have to make sure that everything is properly disconnected and removed before you just start throwing dirt on it. Again, it's an option if it's something that people really don't want. If they just say, no, I have no interest in this, you can, we don't offer that service, but there are lots of pool companies out there that manufacture pools that will also come in and remove them for you.
Absolutely. And Eric, just as we end, tell us about which areas you service.
Yeah, so we offer service in the Durham region. So we go east, Oshawa and Curtis. We go west to about Pickering. We mostly do Whitby and the surrounding areas. We don't really go too far out of this area just because we're really busy in this area. So yeah, we tend to look after people mostly in the Durham region. So anyone from Pickering to Oshawa, and yeah, that's our kind of jurisdiction.
That's amazing. Well, that's great to know. And you know, if we were to ask you for some referrals in different parts of the city, would you be able to provide them?
Yeah, absolutely. We don't work alongside any other pool companies, but we certainly know of people. And one thing I did want to mention is this is a piece of advice that we offer customers who come in and ask us about pool installs and stuff. If you are planning to have a pool built in your backyard, we tell people make sure that you go with a company that has an actual address. And the reason for this is if you hire somebody who's working out the back of their van, if there's problems, you can't always get in touch with those people. Whereas if you've gone to a legitimate business with a mailing address and a store, if there's problems, you have somewhere to go back to. You can face-to-face somebody. A lot of people get taken advantage of because they hired the first person that they found on Facebook Marketplace. And obviously, when there's problems, that person now disappears.
That is such a great tip. And you would think that it would be common sense, but people would just assume that there's a physical address. But it's not always the case.
Yeah, and it's honestly, we found that, you know, because if we install a piece of equipment and it malfunctions or there's a problem with it, you know, our customers, they know they just have to give us a call or come in and explain what's happening. We'll be right out to fix it. It's really terrifying when you spend $60,000 to $100,000 and now you can't get in touch with the person and there's no one who's going to help you at this point. Now that's more money out of your pocket. So do your due diligence, check the company and make sure that they've been doing this a while. They know what they're doing. And that's the same. I think the main thing about pool ownership is just do your homework, search what you need to do, ask questions. We get so many phone calls, people, I just bought a house, can you help me? Absolutely. Come in, have a chat with us, or sit on the phone. Most pool companies will be more than happy to answer questions for people. And, you know, we get people say, we had a lady call and she said, I'm 68 and I want to buy this house, but how much work is this pool going to be? Mm-hmm. She'd never owned one before.
Right.
And we had a good chat. We were on the phone for about an hour. And she said to me, you know, I don't think I'm up for it. And I said, good, that's a smart decision to make now. Don't buy this house and then have to make this decision 2 years down the road that it was too much. Do your homework, decide whether it's the right thing for you or not. And if it's not, then, you know, don't bother.
Exactly. And it's all about that education piece, right? You're just educating people so that they can make that decision for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And education in pools, there's a lot more to it than you'd think. When I first started working in pools, I thought it was a hole in the ground filled with water. I had no idea the work that's involved in them. And, you know, they are a lot of work, but they're also a lot of fun. They can really make a house a home. People love them. And once you get into a routine of maintenance and you take care of them, they're very easy to look after. But it's just about that initial educating yourself and knowing what to do in the beginning.
And thank you so much, Eric. We're really glad to have you on the show here. And for our listeners, can you tell us the company contact information address for Starling Pool so they can know where to contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are based in Whitby and we are on Highway 2. The address is 1645 Dundas Street East. And we're right next to Lake Ridge Road. That's what people want to know. We are open 7 days a week throughout the season. We are open all year round, but we do close, like we reduce our hours during the winter. A lot of pool companies are closed in the winter. We stay open all year round. We're starlingpoolsandspa.com is our website. And our phone number is 905-668-7431. So yeah, if you have any questions or you want to know anything, you can give us a call and we're always happy to help.
Thank you so much, Eric. And please, everyone that are listening, follow and share this podcast with your family and friends. Comment, ask questions, and make requests to topics you'd like us to follow. Thank you so much, everyone, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
TR Talks is hosted by members of Team Rajpal with RE/MAX. Rajiv Rajpal and Xerxes Barucha are brokers. Geeta Rajpal and Nicholas Ip are sales representatives. All registered with the Toronto Regional Real Estate Board, Real Estate Council of Ontario, and Canadian Real Estate Association. This podcast is for informational purposes only and not for financial or investment advice. Please do your own due diligence.